Isn't it amazing how God prepares things or how God plans things? See, originally, Reuben was speaking this morning, but as he spoke a couple of weeks ago, we sort of arranged it that I would continue with Galatians this morning. And when I was looking at it early in the week, during the week, I got it planned. It's all about what Paul says in this chapter 3 of Galatians about Abraham. And we shall be looking at this morning, about why Paul stressed Abraham so much. And then what happened yesterday in Israel makes this morning's message even more, how shall I put it, even more timely, shall I put it that way, even more up to date than what I thought it was. So we're going to have a look at it. We're starting with this and then we'll see what happens. Now, last week we looked at the side of God, that God is love. He's not hateful. He didn't pour out his anger upon Jesus upon the cross. And that's what we saw last week. Now, this morning is like the same side. It said, what happens after we've believed, after we've been made righteous? What then? And that's what we're looking at this morning. And why does Paul talk about Abraham so much? Let me give you a little bit of a background first. At the time that Paul wrote to Galatians, what we call Christians or believers had an exemption from Rome. They had an exemption from Rome because they were considered to be part of the Jewish faith. Therefore, they didn't have to worship the idols. They didn't have to say Caesar is Lord, because they could hold up, we're part of the Jews. We worship the God of Abraham, of Isaac and Jacob. And because of that, they got an exemption. Now, some of the Jews weren't happy. They say, look, we've got the exemption from Rome. We pray for Caesar, but not to Caesar. We pay our taxes. We circumcise our sons. We observe the law of Moses. We've got an exemption. Well, it's not really fair, is it, that you get the same exemption and you don't have to obey the law of Moses? So what Paul is doing, he is setting out, if you like, his argument that these believers in the Messiah, these believers in Jesus, are part of the Jewish faith. They're not a new religion. They have the same root as the Jew. Therefore, they can claim their exemption from Rome. And that's the kind of background. And that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. And we're going to start. Morning, we've got technical problems this morning, so we're starting with me and then we're going to hope the technical problems are overcome. So let's see what Paul says. And we're going to look at it one or two verses at a time. Galatians 3:6. Just as Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. And Paul, quoting from the Old Testament, from Genesis, and Adam believed in the Lord and he accounted it to him for righteousness. And so what was Paul's argument about Abraham? Abraham believed in the Lord. The Lord said, you are righteous, but there was no law to observe. He hadn't been at this time circumcised. So what Paul is arguing is this, that Abraham was said to be righteous before the law was given to Moses, before he was circumcised, and yet he was declared righteous. So what is Paul saying? He's saying the Gentile too can be declared righteous by their belief in the Messiah, in Jesus, without being circumcised, without following the law of Moses, just like Abraham. Just like Abraham. I mean, if you want to look at it, Paul puts his argument in much detail, much more, if you like, flesh on the bones in Romans chapter 4, where he talks about where you can be blessed and made righteous, although not being circumcised, and how Abraham was. Read Romans 4, the whole chapter puts this in perspective. And then he says in verse 8, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. Oh, that scripture, do you ever sometimes think, I've never seen something before? Have you ever, come across that? You've read scripture, you've read the Bible, and you read things, and you... and we get familiar with it and we think we know what it says, and then something hits you. We're in the Bible study at Damien's. I'd never noticed before that God actually twisted the wheels on the chariots. That's something I hadn't sort of gone in. Before I get to the main bit this morning, it says in there, this is the bit, that God preached the gospel to Abraham. Eh? God preached the gospel to Abraham. This is before the law was given, before he was circumcised. He knew the gospel. We're not told exactly what God said, but listen to what Jesus says. Jesus said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then the Jews said to him, you are not 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham? Jesus said, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Abraham was looking forward to the day that the Messiah would come. Abraham was looking forward to the day when the Messiah would come and take the sins of the world. And God had told him, and Abraham was declared righteous because he believed. And what did he believe? He believed there was a Messiah that was coming. And Jesus says, I'm the one that Abraham saw. I'm the one that Abraham was told about. Ah. Oh. And then this is the bit for us this morning. In you all the nations shall be blessed. In you all the nations shall be blessed. In Abraham. You know, I was thinking, what song could I have this morning? And the only one I could think of was Father Abraham Had Many Sons. Well, it's not on the list because personally, I just don't like that song. But I was struggling to find other songs. Because in Abraham, we're all blessed. And what does that mean, we're all blessed in Abraham? How are we blessed? How are we blessed in Abraham, the one who was looking forward to seeing the Messiah? How are we blessed? It says in Genesis, I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and will give them all these lands. I wasn't going to talk about that, but how important is that considering what happened yesterday? I will give them all these lands, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed. And then another verse from the Old Testament. Your descendants shall be the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north, to the south. And in you and all your seed, all the families of the earth shall be what? Shall be blessed. Genesis 12:3. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. I wasn't going to mention this. This is just the beginning of the verse. I want to get to the end verse. But what happened yesterday? God will still hold those accountable who curse Israel. And he will bless those who bless them. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Go into the nations and preach the gospel. Why? So that all the nations can be blessed in Abraham. I was reading a book in the week. And I hope this is true. I hope this is true. If it's true, it's wonderful. He's a Hebrew scholar. And he says that Genesis 12:3 in literal Hebrew can be read like this. In you shall all the families of the earth be engrafted. In you can all the families of the earth be grafted in. He said the word blessing, the root, is connected to the word of meaning grafting in. Wow. Wow. Isn't that what Paul says in Romans 11? That we are grafted in to the tree of Israel? That we share the same root? We worship the same God, the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob? And how do we get engrafted in? How do we get there? By salvation, by righteousness, by justification. And that's all the work of grace, and it's all the work of God. And we are blessed in Abraham. Abraham saw the Messiah, and he saw all the nations would be blessed in him. And through faith, through belief, we can be grafted into the people of Israel. Isn't that wonderful? There isn't. The church has replaced Israel with, if you like, joined in. We've been grafted in. We share the same root. And I want to say this. If Israel hurts, the church should hurt. If Israel is hurting and grieving, we should be hurting and grieving. Psalms tell us that we should pray for the peace of Israel. You see, there's no converting to being a Jew, no human rules, no rabbi teaching, none of their traditions that misrepresent God. It's just faith in Jesus. We get grafted in because we believe in him. Because he's called us out of darkness into light, and we are blessed in Abraham. Because all the nations will be blessed in him. And we're blessed by getting grafted in. Another word I think that we don't often connect, and I connect, is that we're adopted into the family of God. We are adopted. That's what we are, adopted into his family, which is Israel. And I want to say, this is so good news. And his death and his burial and resurrection give Gentiles the possibility of being part of the people of Israel by being saved. Abraham had the gospel revealed to him. I can't get my head around that, really. That's really... Abraham had the gospel. And because he believed, it was counted to him, credited to him as righteousness. But then we have a problem. Because I don't want to just quote scriptures and not realise that there's a problem. Not realising that we have an apostle who seems on the surface to say something different. And we can't ignore him. We can't pretend that he doesn't say what he says. Because he says, and the guy's name is James, the brother of Jesus, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works, and faith save him? But someone will say, 'You have faith, I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.' Do you not know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar? Do you see that faith was working with works? And by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled and says, 'Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called a friend of God.' You see then, a man is justified by works and not by faith only." Well, Paul says it's faith only. And people have struggled with this for years. Centuries have they struggled with it. Some commentaries just say it's too big of a mystery, you just can't understand it. That's not very helpful, is it? Some say that when Paul speaks of works, he speaks of the law of Moses and circumcision and rabbi tradition. And when James speaks of works, he's speaking of doing things out of love for one another. So their definitions of works is different. The problem with that is, it's the same Greek word. And the problem also is that James uses Abraham and Rahab as examples. And you can't really say that they're demonstrations of love. So this is Now, I do hesitate. Weigh this. Take it. But this is what I've come up with. And I do wear... The reason I hesitate is because the commentaries I've got, I can't find anybody who says the same thing. Which I do, which is why I hesitate. But this is what I have come up with. Galatians was written before... Sorry, James was written before Galatians. James was the very first letter written. And what James says there, he firmly, at the time, believed. He believed that the Jews must continue with the law of Moses and circumcise their sons. He believed that Gentiles should also take on the law of Moses and get circumcised. We know this because of what Acts tells us and what Galatians tells us, that James was behind people spreading this thing. So when he wrote it, he believed it. But I believe something happened to James. He went to Jerusalem and he met with Paul. And we know they met together because we are told in Galatians that James is referred to as one of the pillars of the faith. And they came to this agreement and they shook hands on it. And saying there's just one gospel for Jew, one gospel for the Gentile. And they don't have to observe Moses and get circumcised. What am I suggesting is that at the time, and the Bible gives us a true record, this is what James believed. This is what James taught. And who was James writing to? Some modern translations actually change who he's writing to. He's not writing to the church. James 1:1, he was writing to the 12 tribes scattered. Who are the 12 tribes scattered? Jews. So he was writing to the Jews and encouraging them to continue with the law of Moses, encouraging them to circumcise their sons, because this other apostle, Paul, was telling them they didn't have to. And then Paul writes Galatians. I don't think we've got a true record of what James thought at the time. And we know James thought it because Acts and Galatians told us this is what he believed. But he shook Paul's hand. He gave Paul the right hand of friendship and says, they don't have to anymore. So my little input is this, that when he said that a man is justified by works and not by faith only, he actually, and you can do this, believers, you can, under the inspiration and the power of God, he can tell you something you believed is wrong and you can change your mind. What does it say to Job's friends at the end of Job? It says not everything they said was true, and yet it's in God's word. So what God tells us is what happens and what is true, but you have to follow it through. There's stuff in Job that people preach and teach and say God says that if you're sick, God judges you and punishes you. If you're sick, it's because you've sinned, and they quote Job. But God says what their friends told him wasn't true. And yet it's still taught and preached as if it's true. So just because it's in the Bible does not automatically mean it's the heart and the thought of God. You've got to put the whole counsel of God together. And I want to tell you, I'm not going to base anything on one verse when there's multitudes of verses that says the opposite. And it's by faith alone you are saved. By faith. And we have to take that. See, what did Paul say in Galatians? Knowing a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. That's what he says. We are saved because our belief and faith is in Jesus. Abraham was counted righteous because he believed. But I want to tell you this, and this is where we get there. James has something that Paul will agree with him. James says things where Paul is in agreement. Because James says, don't be just hearers of the word, be doers of the word. Did you know Paul would agree with that? When we get towards the end of Galatians, we'll see what it means to walk and live in the Spirit. What it means to be righteous. What it means to live by faith. And so what it is, be blessed by Abraham, that you're grafted in, you're adopted, righteous. But what I think, if you put Paul's and James together, and what they would agree is this. You're not meant to hide the faith. You're not meant to hide what you believe. You're not meant to keep it a secret. You're not meant to keep it so that nobody else knows. They're meant to know you're a believer. They're meant to know you're adopted, grafted in, blessed in Abraham. Jesus said, don't hide your light. Let your light be seen. Let your light be visible so that praises are given. They said of Paul, they knew what he was like. They now know what he's like and they praise God. Why? Because there was something visible. There was something in his life, in the power of God, that can be seen. Now those things won't save you. Those things don't make you righteous. Those things don't make you justified. That's all in Christ. But it doesn't mean we can hide what we believe. It doesn't mean that we keep it a big secret. I'll show my age. There used to be a song by the Salvation Army called The Joy Strings. And they say, it's not a secret what God can do. It's an open secret. And we need to share with one another. You see, God's word cannot contradict. God's word cannot say two distinct different things. And therefore, if I'm going to take it, James and Paul cannot both be right. You cannot be justified by faith only and not of the works of the law and be justified by the works of... That's why I think James wrote this at a time when he saw Jews were stopped being following the law of Moses. He saw Jews coming to faith in the Messiah and stop circumcising their sons. And his heart said, hold on, I don't think this is right. And he made the wrong conclusion. If he just told them they can continue doing that and didn't say that's how you're justified, he'd have been fine. He'd have been okay. You see, when you look at James also very carefully, he starts off with a question. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar? The answer is no. He asks the question. I think he expects a yes, but the truthful answer is no. But once that is settled, once we get past this trying to work out justification, we come to where the agreement is, and that once we've been grafted into that tree, once we've been blessed by believing, obedience is not an optional extra. Obedience is not something we should say, well, shall I or shan't I today? Shall I walk in the Spirit or not? Shall I be a light or not? That should not be an option for the believer. The believer who has been saved by grace and not of works, so that none of us can boast, should be in obedience to our Lord, hearing him and obeying him. There's also, it says, this is what God said to Isaac. And this was sort of like Monday, Tuesday this week. Dwell in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and your descendants I will give all these lands. And I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father. And I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give to you descendants all these lands. And in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Because Abraham obeyed my voice, kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. This was before Moses. Do you see, Abraham was credited as being righteous before the law, and yet he still obeyed every commandment, every statute that God gave him. So if we are declared righteous, if we are saying that in Christ we are justified, an outcome, a natural outcome, a natural desire that doesn't make us righteous, doesn't save us, but is to be obedient, because Abraham obeyed his voice. Now, Reuben the other week talked about Abraham being a friend of God, how there was agreement, how there were, I'm going to remember this right, like I haven't written this down, how there was agreement, how there was obedience, and how there was intimacy. That's how we are. That's how we walk. That's how we live. And obedience will never make us righteous or justified, but because we have been made righteous, we should be listening to him and walking in his truth. Yes, Abraham had mistakes, but in general, his life is a life of faith. His life is that kind of life. By Abraham, it says in Hebrews, obeyed when he was called to go to the place which he received an inheritance. By faith, he offered up Isaac. How did you know Abraham was made righteous? Because of what he did. It's very similar to what James says. If you say you've got saving, Uncle, these are my words. If you say you've got saving faith, if you say you've been made righteous, if you say you've received grace, are you listening to him and walking in his truth? There shouldn't be where listening to him and walking in his truth is like an optional extra. Where being saved, being grafted in, there's not an optional truth that you share the gospel and good news. That people should know that you are a believer in Christ. It's not to be hidden. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. It gives light to all in the house. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify. That's what I think James was getting at. He might have put it in a bit of a, not, I might have used different words. But that's what he's getting at. That if we believe in Jesus, if we're grafted in, we're the light of the world. And people don't say, oh, isn't he good? Isn't he lovely? Oh, look what so-and-so did. What does Jesus say they should do? He says that they will see what you do and realize it's because you belong to Christ, and they give him the glory, not you the pat on the back. But we should be known as a people that walk in the light, that walk in truth, just like Abraham. You, Peter, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you proclaim him who called you out of darkness into his light. Oh, let's get excited. We're grafted in. We're blessed. We're saved by grace. We're called righteous. Let's listen to his voice and do what he says. And let us not hide. Let's tell people. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us from sin. Back to Galatians. Therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. That's how we get in. That's how we're blessed. It's by faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing of the word of God. And it comes because we hear him and we obey. Isn't this, I find this wonderful. There's a whole section there that Paul talks about the curse. I'm going to talk about that another time. And ladies, if you've heard this, what I've heard some teachers say about being redeemed by the curse, it doesn't mean you don't have to suffer with your monthlies. It doesn't mean you don't suffer through the menopause. It doesn't mean that you can claim a pain-free childbirth. That is not what Paul meant when he said you're redeemed from the cross. If you experience any of that, praise him, give him glory. But some Christian women get under guilt and condemnation because that's not their experience. But that's because that's not what Paul said. How do I know? Because I still get weeds in my garden. So the redeemed of the curse. It's always about the women. They never mention about men and their weeds. But redeemed from the curse. We need to understand that. And that's next time. And also, next time, is why do we have the law? What's the purpose? What relevance is it for today? I'm going to cover that as well next time. And it's only this one chapter. And it's a fantastic chapter. So let's be clear, Paul says. No, this is Galatians 3, 11 to 12. No one can be made right with God by trying to keep the law. For the scripture says, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. This way of faith is different from the way of law, which says it is through obeying the law a person has life. Paul couldn't put it any clearer, could he? Jesus came that we might have life and life to its fullness. And Habakkuk says, behold the proud, his soul is not upright, but the just shall live by faith. How do you live by faith? How do the righteous live by faith? Well, first of all, you've got to get grafted in. First of all, you've got to get adopted. First of all, you've got to get saved. And then once you're saved, you live by faith, by hearing and walking in obedience. You're not just a listener, you're a doer. And that's what James said. Do you know what? I think that's a nice place to sort of finish this morning. But, you know, I had loads of verses that I had. And there's one verse that even up until Friday, I had it on my pad where I write things out. I do things freehand and then I type them up. And I had this list of verses. But this one, I thought, doesn't fit in. This one doesn't fit in anywhere. Where does this one fit into what I'm trying to say? Then yesterday happened. This one now fits in. And it's Isaiah 41 verses 8 to 9. But you, Israel, are my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the descendants of Abraham, my friend, you whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called from its father's regions and said to you, you are my servant, I have chosen you, I have not cast you away. It was on my pad because of the phrase, the descendants of Abraham, my friend. That's why it was there. But I want to end by just saying, we're going to be praying for Israel. And it says there, I have chosen you and have not cast you away, because Abraham was the friend of God. And the promises he made to Abraham are still true today. And that's also in Galatians 3, where Paul talks about the promise. We shall, maybe not next time, but another time, we'll go to Galatians 3 again and look at the promise. And the promises and the covenants made that still stand. I have chosen you and have not cast you away. That's actually true for us. He said that I'll never leave you or forsake you. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. But for the Jew, he says, I will not reject you. I will not cast you away. Amen.